You're listening to the Fox and the Phoenix podcast, understanding the feminine cross-dressing experience.
I'm Savannah Hawk, dual gender male to female cross-dresser, LGBTQ plus advocate, TEDx speaker, and author of the Living with Cross-Dressing book series.
And I'm Julie Rubenstein, proud ally and co-founder of foxandhanger.com, a feminine styling and life coaching service for cross-dressers and transgender women.
Welcome back to another episode of the Fox and the Phoenix podcast. I am your co-host, Savannah Hawk. With me today in studio is a cross-dresser's partner, Judy. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here. as we well know, we've already done a trio of episodes plus some milestone episodes with us. So awesome to have you back.
Thank you.
Here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it? Now, you told me a couple months ago, I was walking down the stairs and you just happened to tell me, hey, you know, it still bothers me sometimes when I see Savannah coming down the stairs. Why is that?
Well, I didn't say it bothers me. I said that sometimes it makes me feel awkward or uncomfortable, that I still don't recognize you in a dress. You're still my man and you're wearing a dress. And for some reason, my brain has trouble with that, even though I understand the concept, the mental concept behind it all. The physicality, the reality, the in-personness is still a shock to my system, even almost 10 years later.
Which is what I was going to ask, because it has been 10 years later.
Yeah.
You knew from day one. How is this not, how can I say this? How is this not sunk in yet?
Well, I guess everybody's brains are different. Mine tends to be on the stubborn side, I guess. You know, I mean, I knew somebody that was by a different name and found out that that wasn't their real name. And to this day, I cannot call them by their real name because that's not how I learned them. So I learned you as Chuck in, what, a year and a half of working together. Mm-hmm. Until I learned about Savannah, and you're my man. So it's unusual for me sometimes. Sometimes I'm fine with it. I'm expecting it and it's all good. But sometimes I just feel a little like, you know, and then there's the whole lipstick thing.
Yeah. For the listeners, she cannot deal with me kissing her when I have lipstick on. And I'm like, wait a minute. What about those times when you're wearing lipstick and you're kissing me? It's the same kind of transfer, but in reverse. She doesn't like, she actually will pucker up her face if I try to come in for a kiss. And she's like, lemon, no.
Turn the cheek.
Yeah, it gets very awkward.
I don't understand why men are not weirded out by the thought of kissing somebody and ending up with color on their lips. And I know that you go out of your way to buy these 24-hour things that don't come off. And you're like, look, and you're rubbing your hands on your lips. And but it doesn't matter. It's just like, I don't want to kiss lipstick.
Now, is it the I don't want to kiss lipstick, mm-hmm. or is it the symbolism of what that lipstick is? Like the fact that I am Savannah dressed, you know, with lipstick, and is it less about the taste or smell and more about the what it represents, or is it really more the tactile part?
And that might be part of it, but I mean, I'm like envisioning if I ran into Julie, for instance, and we saw each other, and she went to give me a big kiss on the lips. I probably would be like, no, first of all, we don't normally kiss on the lips, but I mean, if that were to happen, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of doing it with a biological woman versus a cross-dressing woman. And I think it would be the same.
Yeah, we're watching The Crown, I think season 5, part 1 of The Crown.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of double kissing, cheek and cheek. Maybe that's what you should adopt.
Yeah.
That way you're not getting lipstick, but we're still getting the interaction.
Mm-hmm.
That you would get otherwise. So that's a thought.
As long as your lips don't touch my cheek and well, I end up looking like I got dimples of lipstick.
Well, then I'll just rub it in and you can have
then rose. I have rouge.
Yeah, you have rouge. You're all rosy and glow. Just an afterthought because it is obviously just seemingly just as intimate to do like mwah, mwah, like that. Mm-hmm.
Some like air kisses. Yeah.
But I know some drag do it, like they're super air. Mm-hmm. Like you don't even touch.
You're
kind of in this similar space.
There's a lot of people in California that way too. It's just the air. It's just.
Yeah, I think that's tacky. Honestly, yes. Just for me, it's like, it's very bougie and like, what's what I'm looking for? Just snooty.
Highfalutin. Yeah, snooty.
Highfalutin.
Yeah.
Highfalutin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't say highfalutin in California. That's more of a South Carolina thing. So
bless your heart.
Yeah, thank you. So to reiterate, go back to the main part of the story. So it's a Sunday. You hear me upstairs rattling around, getting ready, and then you hear the clop, clop, clops.
No, I first get the Savannah smell.
Oh.
The perfume wafts down the stairs, and I'm like, oh, she's almost ready.
Okay, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a good thing.
Okay.
I went and got you a nice bottle for Christmas.
Now, here's the thing about that bottle. It's the worst design ever.
Oh, my God.
You can't stand up. It's got the most narrow
It's like bottle. A half an inch thick.
Yeah, and you can't stand it up. And if there's a tremor, it falls over. Mm-hmm. But we love it. It's Le Cone of some sort.
I don't remember the name.
But we like it. Okay, so the first thing you smell, your first of your senses.
I know you're almost done. Yes.
As it's walking down the stairs for you. Like, oh, Savannah's almost ready. And then you hear me. Probably putting stuff away and snapping my makeup box back clothes and whatever. Probably making
some. I don't really hear that, but I hear the shoes.
They go, dum, 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 dum. So I come around a wrap around stairs and I'm on that middle landing and you see me from the feet to the knee to the thighs to the waist and then in all my glory, you're sitting on the couch. So explain to me when or why sometimes you're prepared for it. And sometimes you're taken aback by it, even though you know I'm coming downstairs as Savannah. Mm-hmm. What dictates your response to it?
Sometimes it's just my frame of mind or my mood at the moment, you know, because I have ups and downs in my emotions. And if I'm not in a good headspace, it's harder for me. And if I'm in a good headspace, maybe it's easier, but I could be in a good headspace. And you come down and I'm like, oh my God, she's going out wearing that dress.
Okay. First of all, oh my God, they're going out dressed like that.
Mm-hmm.
More so these days, at least in the last 3 or 4 years, have been more along the, like me almost overdressing than looking like I'm going to the club.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
typically my fashion is actually like, wow, you're going to the coffee shop looking like you're going to a funeral or to church. It's like, you're way, you know, it's right. It seems like,
but it's also our different taste in clothing, even though a lot of the dresses you have now, I'm great with, you know, we've picked out together. You have put on a few pounds
and
they don't fit as well as they used to. And I've put on a few pounds too, and I won't wear something tight that shows off the fact that I put on a few pounds. So my mind automatically puts my inhibitions onto you, you know, and saying, well, I can't do this. You shouldn't be doing this, you know, because that's not
comfortable. How you feel.
Right.
Because how you feel if it were
I'm
you.
Like, yeah, I'm like
projecting.
Projecting. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Now, just FYI, Judy and I have completely different ideas of comfortability in our body shapes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm all like, if a woman's out there doing her thing and she's maybe a little heavy, bottom heavy, top heavy, but she's like owning it and like just lighting it up, I'm all like, you know, kudos, giving her snap into the fingers because I think she's amazing and just embodying her body with that confidence, and that raises your game like such a degree. It's not even about the extra roll you might see under the dress or the whatever. So whereas I celebrate that for people who have confidence in their bodies, wherever their shape is, Judy, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is a little more traditional, a little more
judging.
Self-conscious about the look, one for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was a chubby kid and I got made fun of a lot.
Oh.
And I got bullied a lot, you know. I was always the tallest girl in the class and chubby. And so I, you know, just lost that weight when I hit like puberty, I guess, and the weight came off. then I became judgy of other people saying, well, you know.
So you are the typical rom-com trope of the pretty girl who doesn't know they're pretty because they used to have glasses and braces and fat. Mm-hmm. Right. That's a standard trope where like they still think they're a fat girl.
Yeah.
Because they just never got out of that mindset. Now, talk more about the because people judged you,
mm-hmm.
you now have a tendency to judge others.
I get defensive, I think, about others and what they may be thinking of me and then what I think of them, you know, like, how could you wear that? You know.
Is that a direct reaction to how people treated you when you were younger? Or has your brain sense been conditioned to say, oh, you shouldn't go out looking that like that? Like, even for the person, like, you shouldn't go out looking like that because you may be judged, even not by you, but by the general populace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I know we've talked about that, about how you feel about me. That you think if I go out as Savannah and I'm not
passable,
and I'm not passable, or I'm carrying the pounds, and I look a little mannish or whatever, you're concerned that people may see me, judge me, reject me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is ironic because I don't give a shit about what people think of me. I just want to be happy in myself. Now, I have no body issues for myself,
mm-hmm.
of like how I feel about my weight and trying to coax myself into a corset or shapewear or something to kind of squeeze myself in the right spots, you know, get rid of the big, fat, thick neck, all those type of things. But yet, like, as you had told me a few months ago, you'll get to a point where you want to do something different. You want to eat better. You want to do that thing that's going to make you physically be on your way to a better physique or a better mindset for your body.
Mm-hmm.
So after 10 years, and this is where I could tell the audience, when you told me that, or I still experience you reacting that way, it is like really hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we've been together 10 years. It's like, why is this not normal for you guys? I don't know if everybody knows, I think you may have mentioned it, that you do have a neurodivergent brain.
Yes.
So you process different, even though most brains all process everything differently.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is one of those things where I equate your discomfort to your acceptance. Like when you do something that crinkle your nose about what I might be wearing or how I see you see me in dress,
mm-hmm.
I take that as a rejection. It's like, wow, my partner 10 years after all this time is still having these thoughts or these issues or these reactions.
A lot of times I can't control my reactions, though. That's where the divergence kicks in. You know, you have rejection sensitivity or something like that. And even though you know consciously that what you're thinking isn't right, your brain won't shut it off. Your brain just thinks what it wants to think and feels what it wants to feel. And, you know, because you and I've had this discussion 100 times, emotionally and mentally, I completely understand the whole cross-dressing concept. But my brain, somehow, when you're sitting in front of me, it's a little different. Not always, but at times. And that's why we're having the discussion, because we want people to know that you don't have to be accepting all the time in order for it to work. You don't have to feel guilty, although I do feel guilty sometimes. But
you're saying you don't.
I don't have to feel. Okay. I shouldn't have to feel guilty because I'm not always 100% on board, because it's a departure from the norm of society.
Boo! Down on society. They suck.
Maybe in another 10, 20 years it won't be. You're doing your best to get it out there. So, you're making progress.
I'm trying, but you know, I'm just one little voice. And here's another thing I'll say. I don't think I've spoken about this at all. Is that for somebody who's trying to prove society wrong,
mm-hmm.
On this grander scale, and people can say, "Oh my God, if Savannah can do it, I can do it."
Mm-hmm.
To see our own struggles reflected back to me is also like a magnification. I was like, man, how come everybody else is enjoying the fruits of my labor, but yet I can't make it work here in these moments with you? And that's hard. I feel like I'm failing if I can't.
Are you doing all or nothing thinking now?
Well, I'm telling you how I'm feeling.
I know. I'm asking you a question.
I'm saying in those moments, I'm saying in those moments, when you do react that way, or I see that little micro expression, it's like, wow, how come I can't? I'm not even getting it right. Who am I to tell other people what they should be doing if I can't get it right in my own life? Which is kind of an imposter syndrome thing. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm preaching, but I'm not practicing, or I'm preaching, but yet my own life is not looking like that. So it's a struggle because I know everybody's different. And I know, and that's why you're on the podcast more often, is to have mm-hmm. a perspective
yeah.
and know that I'm not some ivory tower-esque ideal.
Impossible goal, yeah.
And Julie said it too. Julie said, listen, you know, I can't be like Savannah, her clients will say. And mm-hmm. it's like, dude, Savannah's just going through it just like everybody.
Savannah's just like everyone else, except they're stepping forward and trying to make a difference.
Yeah. Speaking of stepping forward mm-hmm. and making a difference, you had given me some notes about this episode when mm-hmm. you're thinking about the concept. The one thing that you had mentioned, and one of the things that you said was a benefit of me. And by the way, I've been looking through a lot of pictures and I find pictures of you and Savannah together. Mm-hmm. I actually wanted to do some stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I was going through all my photos, unlike you and me. And I started seeing the evolution of my own skill set, mm-hmm. even in the time that you and I have been together. Mm-hmm. So one of the things you had mentioned early on is that you didn't think that you would be as on board. And again, taking into account the stuff you said about like body judgment and passability and concern about what people look like. You had said to me earlier on that if I wasn't as passable as I am, that, not that you said it this way, but it might've been a deal breaker. It might've been that one thing that like you couldn't have got past.
Yeah.
So talk about that. Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes me feel like it's conditional acceptance, which doesn't set well with me. But my therapist tells me that all relationships are conditionally accepted, you know, that we all have rules and things that, you know, we're not going to allow. We all have conditions to our relationship. And for me, I guess that was a condition that I have to feel comfortable with how you look, that I can't be embarrassed.
Okay. But this is a personal thing.
Yeah, it's a personal thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you have this self-imposed or this vision. First of all, you never thought in your life you'd be with somebody who likes to dress as a woman.
No.
That's not the one. Mm-hmm. So that's problematic, just in general, in terms of what you expected in life with a partner. But if I was, I don't know, not as skilled with makeup or maybe even more overweight or something where it's like I just wasn't succeeding in the societal norm of what feminine beauty should be.
I would have been trying really hard to give you whatever knowledge I have of feminine presentation and hoping that you took notes and you know, had a desire to improve.
So that's an interesting way to say it, because we talked about judgment and body dysmorphia and body shaming. Mm-hmm. But now you're saying, well, I would have tried even harder to set me on a path of success.
Right? I would have tried to set you on, not even harder, because I guess I have been trying in your wardrobe selection and things. Yeah. Find things that are flattering.
Right. So to that point, Fox and Hanger, if you need styling tips, go to Fox and Hanger.
That's Julie. Right. Julie's the best. We love Julie. She will help you.
This is right.
Also, hey, Julie.
And definitely, when you talk about what flatters, mm-hmm. she's really good at like knowing exactly. She could think, yes. like, oh, you're this shape, mm-hmm. or you're top heavy, or you have an inverted triangle shape with broad shoulders. She knows all the things to like take a certain style of dress and make you look your best.
Oh yeah. When we went into that fitting room that time, the three of us, and you were trying things on, man, she was giving some top-notch yeah. advice. She said, well, this isn't flattering because this is falling here and then it takes the eye to here. And it was just like, I was impressed. Yeah. I'm like, I want you to come shop for me. You know?
By the way, just like, if you took the bottom half of this dress and top half of this half and put it together, it'd be perfect.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing, because a lot of times it's not about how you look as a person. It is what you choose to wear to present yourself as that person you want to look like. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important for all partners, because again, I look around and I look online and I see gorgeous male or female crossdressers mm-hmm. who have the perfect physique. You know, they're willowy, or they're thin and tall and statuesque, and they don't need to worry about it. Like, they can wear almost anything. It's going to work.
Even not the physique, because I don't remember what their name is, but we used to think that she was drop dead gorgeous in the makeup that she wore. And she wasn't like super skinny or had the curves or anything, but she just, the way she put on her makeup was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
And yeah, and just very the way she carried herself and the way she dressed, you know, she really cared and was proud of that. And it showed.
Yes. And that goes back to confidence. Mm-hmm. Good one is ability, and two is confidence in carrying what you have to work with. So the thing I wanted to get across by this part of the conversation is, I know male and female crossdressers who don't need one stitch of help. Mm-hmm. And they're like, bang, dead gorgeous, regardless. And then there's others who struggle either with their image of their self, thinking mm-hmm. their family, their partners looking at them saying, I'm not sure how I feel about you dressing this way. Sometimes it's not about the dressing as a woman that's the problem. It's the how you choose to present yourself as a woman.
You're going out in that?
Yes, exactly. Going back to that old chestnut. It's that. And so it's really more important as a conversation mm-hmm. because when you told me those things, like giving me that face, that mom face of like, you're not going out dressed like that, are you? Mm-hmm. I didn't hear it as, I'm really concerned about how you look, and I want you to look your best, and I want you to present yourself well, and I don't want you to get having trouble out there. I didn't hear that. I heard, you're disgusting. That's what I heard, mm-hmm. even though that's not what you said.
Right.
But it's, again, most cross-dressers, anybody in the trans community, has spent a lifetime perfecting micro-expression recognition. Like, we know tone of voice. We know, like, those little expressions that you don't even know you're doing. We became very attuned.
The tells.
We became very attuned to the tells. Mm-hmm. And whether it's meant or not meant, mm-hmm. we react to those tells very quickly, especially if we're not confident in our own selves. Mm-hmm. So I think my advice to our listeners, both from a partner perspective and a cross-dresser perspective, is try to put those tells in perspective. And if you are feeling a certain way, if you're feeling a way about it, mm-hmm. have a conversation. Tell me about your personal.
As my therapist said, that if you assume that somebody meant something by something, repeat back to them what you think they're thinking or feeling or saying. You look to me like you're not appreciating how I'm dressing, or you think that I'm not being appropriate. Can you, yeah. Is that correct? And if so, why? And have a discussion.
Yeah, which is hard to have in the moment.
It is.
Because in that moment, I'm having the feels and I'm probably not really hearing and ready to have a conversation about it. When in that moment where I'm like trying to get ready to go out and have a good time, and now this cloud is hanging over my head about what I think you're thinking about me. Mm. We've come a long way.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Jesus Christ. I was when we came down here mm-hmm. to South Carolina, that one of those early days of like how I was dressing. And, you know, that's 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
6 years.
And so we've come a long way just in that regard. We've came to a compromise about the kissing part. or at least an understanding about mm-hmm. what it really means. And it's not an outright rejection of me as a person.
Right.
But just like, ew, lipstick, mm-hmm. which I still understand. But anyway, it's like there are degrees of reaction and understanding, and they all require deeper diving.
Yeah.
And
just like being hugged and then having these two big things pressing into me. It's just a little weird.
Why? You got things pressing into me. You don't hear me complaining. Yeah,
but they're all soft and warm and not like.
So if I got soft and warm implants, I've got soft and warm breast forms, you'd be a little more on board. Is that what you're saying? Let's not lie. You still have a problem with it. You just, because that's not the curvature
mm-hmm, that I'm accustomed to.
Accustomed to or attracted to, and you're still working on the accustomed to and the attracted to part mm-hmm. That's still ongoing that we're working through. So what else can we talk about as we get close to the end of this? I mean, we talked about just being comfortable What advice would you give to a cross-dressing partner to help them become more comfortable with their cross-dressing partner?
Again, it's educating themselves, reading things, learning about the mentality behind why their partner is doing this, and trying to be a little patient and understanding, and trying to be open-minded. I mean, it is a leap to, you know, when you have lived on this planet for half a century or whatever and never experienced a man wearing heels and nylons, to having that be normal in your eyes, in your mind, in your world. It's just different. Some people can process that really quick, and I'm jealous of them. But for me, I struggle with things. Divergent part of me makes things a lot harder sometimes than they should be. And that makes it very frustrating for you. So both partners just need to have patience and maybe understand that the other one doesn't mean anything negative by how they react. It's just your first reaction is just like a gut reaction. It's your second reaction that you think through and talk about. So you can't get too crazy if somebody just all of a sudden, like when I shook my hand away from you, going back to the book, you know, you just were devastated. And I didn't think twice about it. It's just like, oh, no. But in retrospect, I should have not done it that way, maybe, or could have talked a little bit about it, or I'm not ready for that, or something. You know, it just, the whole thing wasn't handled well. Partners need to be a little patient and to learn how the other one thinks. I mean, you had no idea that I think the way I do years ago. I didn't. Once I got my diagnosis, it's like, oh my God, that explains so much from when I was a kid. You know, I mean, it's crazy. So you have to sometimes just stop and say, well, you know, maybe she's just not in, you know, her tolerance level is at a 3 today, and that has nothing to do with me, but she's reacting to me, so I can't take it personal, you know.
Which is so hard.
I'm sure it is.
And I will end on this note, because you're saying brilliant things, is that, and you tell people this about me all the time. It's like, oh, he's so sensitive. He's so delicate.
You are. Low flower.
I'm a little delicate low flower, wilting low flower. And why is that? That's because I've come from 50 years on this planet feeling less than, feeling an outsider, feeling like I couldn't share this with people, feeling that there was something wrong with me, feeling that society wouldn't accept me. I've had relationships where they were on board and then not on board. Constantly dealing with something that in reality for me should be completely normal. If we lived in a world where gender wasn't such a sticking point and you could just do what you wanted to do, this would be a non-issue. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be so sensitive about it. But when your partner reacts in any semblance of a negative way, it's super, super distressing. And it's less about sensitivity, like, oh my God, I just like touched him and he fell apart, porcelain. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it's not the understanding that I'm sensitive, because I am a sensitive person. It's the fact that these things are so triggering. Mm-hmm. It can very quickly be trauma.
Yeah.
It's just the release of that trauma again by something that seems very insignificant to the partner, but the cross-dressing partner is devastating, because one, this is a person they love most. Mm-hmm. This is that partner that they want that closest bond with. So to have any semblance of something that's negative or invalidating or non-accepting, it can be magnified to such a degree in our hearts and minds that it could cause lots of conflict.
You've told me many times that my rejecting Savannah in any way, shape, or form is rejecting you.
That's true, Joe.
And I don't feel that way, but I understand that you do feel that way. We've had a lot of conversations about those types of things, because it is, you know, I mean, the feelings aren't facts. You know, we keep saying that, and it's true. If I feel a certain way or act a certain way at a certain time, it doesn't mean that's who I am. It means that's how I'm feeling. That's how I'm emoting at that particular time, because my brain is in that particular mindset.
The only thing you have to be careful about in that statement is that feelings aren't facts unless that feeling is constantly being felt. If the entire relationship is that that's all the feeling you get from your partner, then it is fact. It's fact because that is how they feel. It's not just like, ooh, I'm sorry.
Something is triggering them.
Yes.
And they don't understand it. I mean, that's my problem a lot of times. You'll say, well, why do you think that way? I'm like, I don't know. I honestly don't know. You probe me and you therapize me and you ask me all these questions and I'm like, I don't know. I wish I did.
She doesn't like that when
I blank out on, and I'm amazed I'm able to do this with you right now. Usually I would blank out with that too.
I have come a long way
and I've gotten a lot more accepting of Savannah. I mean, you still feel like a lot of times we haven't made progress, but then I have to remind you of all the things that are different that used to be.
There was a time when Judy was very much the, I can't tell anybody about you. Mm. I'm embarrassed. I mean, what would they say about me being with somebody like you?
And I would be looking out the door to make sure the coast was clear so we could run to the car real quick. And, you know,
it was a lot. Yeah. It was a lot of covert operations. And I think that didn't help the feelings of it. You can't alleviate feelings of, this is all secretive, when you perpetuate the need to keep it secret. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to find it like, oh, but the first time you told somebody and they're like, now I'm pulsed by it. Or the first time you told your daughters and they're like, well, why didn't you tell my senator? Why would I worry about that? All of a sudden it's like, huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden you're like,
I've had like questionable reactions, like confused reactions from a couple of people, but mostly they're just like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I've got a cousin that's gay or whatever. You know, I mean, they automatically find something to relate to you on it, even if it's not a parallel.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a non-event for the most part, telling people in the beginning.
Now I want to know who that person is who had the questionable reaction. We'll have to speak off air about that.
Yeah.
So in closing, to wrap this up a bit, both partners need to be very mindful of their own triggers and their own traumas. Try not to project those triggers and traumas onto your partner. Try not to misconstrue what your partner means by assuming that they're just perpetuating the same stereotype that you've been dealing with your whole life, and vice versa.
Ask the question. Repeat back what you think the other person is thinking or what you think they're thinking.
Yeah. And of course, do that in a loving space.
Yeah.
You can't have the conversation in that moment if you're already triggered.
No, you can say, listen, can we sit down later and talk about some things? You know, set a time for it.
Do you know how much bravery it takes to actually say what you just said? Mm-hmm. Like, to have the state of mind be like, I'm triggered right now.
Right.
And I'm having emotions right now. Mm-hmm. But
we do need to talk about this
conversation later, because I'm still going out in this mix. I will see you at midnight when the club closes. With that, thank you so much for this. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It was cool. For the listeners, we've been sitting on this question.
You've been sitting on it.
Listen, don't be haranguing the host here. But we've been sitting on it because we haven't been recording.
Okay.
But now we're jumping on this. So yeah, hopefully you enjoy it. And to everybody who has reached out to me about Judy being on the podcast, thank you so much for your positive and loving words. Yeah, we need to have her on more often, because who better to talk about the partner experience than a partner?
Correct.
So here she is in all her neurodiverse glory.
Yep, that's me.
Thanks, everybody, for listening in. We will see you soon. And bye for now.
Until next time.
You can find me on Facebook at Savannah Hawk or at Living With Crossdressing, and on Instagram at Savannah Hawk. Remember, that's HAUK. And to learn more, go to my website, livingwithcrossdressing.com.
And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Fox and Hanger or at Julie MTF Style, as well as on our website at foxandhanger.com.
Julie, it's your moment.
Fox and the Phoenix podcast uses Anchor, copyright 2024.
Yes, nailed it. If you enjoy our content and want to make it easier for others to find us, please share with your friends. Tap the subscribe or follow button to the show wherever you're listening. Give it a 5-star rating or leave a review.
And for show ideas or comments, contact us through the podcast on Facebook at Fox and Phoenix Podcast or on Instagram at the Fox and the Phoenix Podcast _.